hope everyone had a good afternoon, a wonderful day. It is good to see you here, and I know many had a family over and probably ate a big meal, and kind of a warmer day than it's been, and so maybe a little not as active-minded as normal is a good way to put it. So I'm going to keep that in mind and not give you an extremely long lesson this evening. But we're very thankful that you're here, and we're always thankful that God has given us this opportunity to gather together. So our lesson here, of course, you can see on the screen. I decided to title it "Of." Now, I've titled a lesson before just the word "if" from 1 John, and so I wanted to title this "Of." And then you can see the subset there, you know, so what about denominationalism? And, you know, the thing about it is, you know, this is one of those lessons that we just got to do every once in a while, right? And because the problem is many people, right, that everyone to a degree is of something. We like to be of something. I'm of this team or of this neighborhood or of this town or county or whatever, right? We love to be of something, which isn't bad. But when we're talking about things religious, that's where the issue, the problems begin, right? And so, you know, we need to understand that, you know, everything, life, politics, family, religion, it's filtered by basically glasses that we wear, right? You've heard the phrase, someone seeing the world through rose-colored glasses, right? And so that's very true, very true. And, you know, you can have a police officer and a defense attorney see the very same event and come up with two different perspectives, right? Or maybe sports. Here's where we're all guilty. Especially, you know, if you ever watch high school sports, when Grace played basketball, and I'd kind of get a kick out of some of the parents. You know, a ref would call a foul against one of the girls on our team, and, you know, are you blind? You know, and they get all upset. But when the opposite happens, right? Yeah, good call, ref, right? And we do it with the teams that we like, you know. And if you watch football, the notorious pass interference, right? If it's against our team, it's always pass interference, right? And so we just have different perspectives. You could be, you know, driving down the highway and you accidentally cut somebody off and you're sheepishly go, you know, sorry. But if they do it to you, it's like, hey, what's wrong with that guy? You know, what's his problem, right? So we just see things like that. And so I want us to think about this. You know, we all have these glasses on, if you will, and they're filtered glasses, especially when it comes to things religious. Now, I want to read a couple quotes here to get us started. You know, denominationalism and Christianity amounts to folks wearing certain glasses. And so here's a little bit, a snippet from Clem Thurman. He wrote in the Gospel Minutes, and this is several years old, many years old, and he wrote about the curse of denominationalism. And so he says, denominations cannot agree among themselves about the organization of the church, about worship, about how people, how to be saved, and dozens of other such vital topics. Really, they just agree to disagree. Yet most people cannot picture Christianity except in terms of denominations. As a result, everything they read in the Bible is filtered through those denominational glasses. They cannot imagine how one can be a Christian without being in a denomination. That is certainly a curse. Now, what got me really thinking about this lesson is, actually, Brother Tom brought up some good points and question at the end of our lesson last week, and I thought, yeah, it's time that we, you know, talk about this and bring it up, look at it in the lesson. Look at this quote from Keith Mosier. And he writes, denominationalism simply means to name something. When you separate yourself into any group, then you are denominated. If you were to ask someone what kind of Christian he is, he might tell you, I am this particular kind of Christian. He is denominating what he is. What happened here is that denominationalism split Christianity into so many bodies that it is nearly impossible to name all of them. Someone has estimated that there are over 600 in this country alone that claim to be Christians, yet name themselves differently because they are following different creeds, different doctrines, or different dogmas. To denominate is to split or break up the church that Jesus Christ, that Jesus died for and paid for with his blood. All right, so if you want, open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Right, we read here that this congregation, the Lord's Church, right, the Church of Christ at Corinth, having a lot of problems. And one of the problems here right off the bat is had to do with division. I'm sure many are familiar with what's going on. Right, division among the brethren regarding individual preferences for different preachers. You know, and so Paul here, he heard about these divisions, these problems, and he wrote here, of course, this is by agency, by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So this isn't just Paul having an issue with this. This is God having an issue with this. Let's just read verses 10 through 12. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Right? So some of the church here at Corinth, they begin to divide themselves over personal preferences, right? After being baptized, right? Some began to say, I'm of Paul or Cephas or Apollos or Christ. And so they were denounced for their divisions. And this was done by three questions here in verse 13 that Paul brings up, right? Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And then the answer to each of these is obvious. Right, first, Christ is not, he's never been, nor will he ever be divided. Right, Mark 3, 22, and following, I think about verse 26, Jesus says, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Right, and Christ goes on, especially in John chapter 17, we're going to read a couple verses here in a few minutes, praying for unity. Right, and Jesus wants unity. And so you got brethren here dividing themselves. But secondly, Paul, of course, had not been crucified for them. As we know, Christ was crucified for all. Number three, they were not baptized in the name of Paul. Matthew 28, verse 19, we are to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And so based on these criteria here, with these Christians in Corinth, would they have been wrong calling themselves Paulites? Of course. Right? Or if they started the Church of Paul, well, of course that's condemned. Right? They would have been wrong and they would be sinning against God. And so I want you to think, if that's the case, logically, what about today? You know, what if a preacher, here's a scenario I came up with my mind. What if a preacher in the church by the name of Alex Campbell, powerful, dynamic speaker, converted thousands, right? Well-educated biblical scholar, right? Just converted thousands of people. And he started a new movement called the Restoration Movement in this country, leading to even more conversions, right? And then we, the people who were converted, wanted to honor him by wearing a particular religious name, right? What if we called ourselves the Restorites or the Campbellites? Now, would that be wrong? Well, absolutely it would, right? It would absolutely be wrong. This would not be acceptable, not according to the Bible here in 1 Corinthians 1, right? In order for one to be able to call oneself a Restorite or Campbellite in this illustration, right? Three things here, same standard. Three things would have to be true, right? Christ would have to be divided. A person would have to have been baptized in the name of Alex Campbell. And Alex Campbell would have had to have been crucified for those followers. So by calling yourself a Campbellite, a Lutheran, a Mormon, a Catholic, a Calvinist, or fill in the blank, right, you would be dividing the body of Christ, and you would be giving glory to that individual or to that movement, whether it was Alex Campbell or Martin Luther or Wesley or Joseph Smith or John Calvin or the Pope or whoever, right? Whoever started a particular denomination. And also, by the way, by identifying yourself with the moniker concerning that new movement, that'd be wrong also. For example, such as being a Methodist or a Baptist or a Seventh-day Adventist, Episcopalian, Presbyterian, or whatever, etc. These names give glory to either the men who started those denominations or that method of Christianity instead of Jesus. Here in verse 31, same chapter, he's going to actually quote Jeremiah 9:24, right? He who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Peter writes something interesting in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16. Peter writes, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God, right? And what did Peter mean when he wrote that we are to glorify God in his name? Right? Which name? Well, the answer, of course, is Jesus Christ. So if it's wrong to divide the body of Christ over a preference for preachers, would it not be just as wrong to divide the body of Christ over man-made creeds and doctrines? I think logically you got to conclude yes. Would it not be wrong to divide the body of Christ by adopting unauthorized religious names, unauthorized religious practices, unauthorized religious creeds? Absolutely, it's wrong. Just because we love people that are part of that, we cannot justify that. And even though those are some of the best people we know, right, they can be the absolute best neighbors we could ever have. Jesus gives us an answer there as he ends the Sermon on the Mount. If you would, in Matthew 7 real quick. You have some religious people who did a lot of really good religious things, but there's still an issue. And he says in verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me, so religious people doing religious things that look good, that these are some earnest people. We're talking about earnest, good people, people you would love to have as your neighbor. People that you love that are part of your physical family. Many people will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, who? People that were religious. People that are wonderful, religious, hard-working people. I will declare to them, that's to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice, here's the problem, you who practice lawlessness. B.J. Clark wrote, one church may not teach the same thing as another church, but according to denominationalism, they're both the Church of Christ. Scripture teaches us, however, that there's one body, one church, and that church teaches the same thing uniformly. That is what we need to strive to do today, speak as the oracles of God and not differentiate or denominate ourselves into a number of different groups, all claiming to be one body. Again, I mentioned a moment ago, Jesus in John 17, read it with me, makes a plea for unity. So John chapter 17, 20 and 21. Note the pronouns here. I do not pray for these alone, right? He's with the disciples. Right, you have the 12, now minus Judas here. So those disciples, but also for those who will believe me through their, the apostle, the disciples' words, right? In other words, you and me. That they all may be one. Now here's the qualifier, here's the standard. As you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. That's the issue with all the denominating. Right? And people say, why are there so many churches? They can't even agree among themselves. Why even try? And sadly, many people are turned away from Christ because of that. Paul's instruction, our scripture reading earlier in Ephesians 4. Be reminded of the oneness here. There is one body. Now, if I read this and I stood up in front of a congregation of XYZ denomination out there, and I got up and I said, you know what, there are multiple bodies. There are multiple faiths, multiple baptisms, multiple gods, multiple fathers. They say, you can't say that. Get out of here. That's not true. Leave. You're preaching heresy. You know, it may be right. But the same oneness concerning all of those areas is the same singular nature of the one body, the church. Right? Same language. It says there's one God. It says there's one body, one church. I want you to note that unity is not only demanded, but also division and sectarianism are condemned. Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Listen to the list of sin here, and note what's right in there in the middle. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, New King James says. Your translation might say divisions. Jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Right? So right there in the middle of all that, not only is unity demanded, but division and sectarianism, division, all of that, it's condemned. Romans 16. Verses 17 and 18. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. Unfortunately, many who denominate, they're great speakers. Right, they're wonderful, powerful storytellers, great orators. And they tell you what you want to hear. Right, it's very enticing to be a part of that exciting gathering that they create. But listen, divisions, sectarianism, denominationalism are condemned in the Bible. And since division is condemned, you know, we need to work diligently to maintain the unity of the body of Christ. We're to be joined together in the same mind, same judgment, Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 11. Right? So in this, and we're going to go ahead and wrap up and finish up here in just a moment. We need to be willing to give up anything that is not authorized by the Bible. Right? Speak where the Bible speaks, silent where the Bible is silent. Revelation 22, 18 and 19 here. Right? Take nothing away, add nothing to it, to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Right? There has to be a thus saith the Lord for everything that we do and say. The Bible says it this way, right? Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So to do something in the name of the Lord Jesus is to do something with his approval, right? With his permission. And, you know, you need to ask yourself, right, am I seeking the Lord's approval? You know, am I in his church? Am I wearing a religious name that brings glory to Christ, or glory to some man or some organization or some so-called method of Christianity? Or am I living to worship in an authorized, therefore acceptable way to God? Right? Am I serving in an acceptable manner? And these are, I think, questions we need to ask of ourselves all the time. Right? Just be honest with that evaluation. Where are we? What are we doing? Right, we're doing right here. Let's confirm that. Let's great. Let's keep going. You know, here, not so much. Let's fix that. Let's be honest with that, or, you know, whatever it is. Right, am I doing only those things that the Bible authorizes, or am I denominating myself? Right, that's why I try to get the brethren to remind us continuously, listen, the sign out front, it's not a title, it's a description, right? It describes a set of people that meet in a particular location, right? This building is not the church, we are the church, right? We've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light, right? Church, ecclesia is the called out, but we're called out of darkness and sin into Christ, and we assemble together as a body of believers, and then we do what's mandated of us, as a body of believers. And so these truths are absolutely fundamental, something we need to think about continuously. All right, this is the blessed gospel of Christ, and we seek to be a part of that truth. And so we're gonna end with this passage here. I want you to think about this. We'll kind of add the Lord's invitation here to this. The truth is knowable, right? And when we understand the truth is the person of Jesus Christ, everything changes. Right? Truth isn't what you think it is. Truth isn't what the majority opinion believes it to be. Right? Truth isn't what makes you feel good about whatever. Truth is the person of Jesus Christ. And he invites you to participate in his truth. Right? So that's the call in here this evening. And if you've never responded to truth, if you've never heard the truth, let's take care of that. Let's sit down and let you read in the Word of God what truth is. And so you're not taking my word for it. You can see it for yourself. If you're here and you're subject to the gospel invitation, we'd love to help you with that. If you've done that and along the way you lost your way, you're ready to come back home, we'd have great joy to help you to be restored, to be reconciled to God. So if you have any needs spiritually, let somebody know, please, as we stand, as we sing.